Well, having recently returned from January in Tanzania, I thought I would share with you one of many highlights of that trip, and this one in particular also was the source of a little regret for me. For a good portion of the trip, we spend our time in a little village called Tungamalinga, which is in the very heart of Tanzania. And from there, we would take day trips out to various Heihei and Maasai villages. Now, it seems everywhere we went, we were met with singing and dancing. The Tanzanian people have to be the most welcoming, gracious people I've met. And so they're just amazing people. And so we would be met by this singing and dancing, and then they would take us to the place where they worshipped. And so sometimes it was nothing more than a thatched hut. Sometimes it was a kind of a crude building. Sometimes it was just the ground underneath an acacia tree. And then there we would enter in kind of this sing-off of sorts, where we would sing a little, they would sing a little, we would sing, they would sing, back and forth, this cultural exchange of music and dancing. Very, very cool. Now, most of the time, and especially in the Maasai villages, the singing and dancing was mostly done by the Maasai women. The Maasai men kind of sat there and watched, but didn't necessarily participate. Very much unlike you Living Waters men, who sing enthusiastically with every song. I see you. So I notice these things, yes. Well, in the village of Namalak, which was a Maasai village, something unique happened there because we were treated to a group of Maasai men who offered us their traditional dance and song. And this dance involved jumping, amazing, graceful jumping, high into the air. We've got a couple pictures here of these Maasai men as they're jumping away. Go ahead, you can go through the pictures. And they could catch a little air jumping like this. And so I have a video, and I want you to listen to their chant, because it's a very kind of cool, throaty chant as they do this jumping. So. Eventually, it was bound to happen that they would invite the Minnesota men to come and join them in jumping. So the Gustavus students, the boys, went out there quite eagerly. And then you could hear calls for Todd. Todd, come on out. Todd, get out of here. And Todd didn't go. Even the bus driver participated, if we can show that next little video. Bless him. Bless his heart for trying. I just sat there and watched and didn't participate. And when it was all done, I have to admit, I had an immediate feeling of regret. I don't know why I didn't go out there and jump, other than some goofy fear of looking stupid or being bad at it or failing miserably, not being Maasai enough. I don't know. Dumb sort of self-talk that was simply paralyzing me from going out and doing that. The whole event only took a matter of a few moments, but I do remember quite a conversation I was having in my head and just kind of being frozen there. And then when it was all done, there was this barrage of, well, Todd, why didn't you come out there? Why didn't you go and join them? And, you know, what could I say? Weak ankles, you know. Someone from the first service said, you should have said white man can jump, but the students certainly proved that wrong. It was weak confidence is the real reason. Well, enough of that. On to the gospel story that I read to you, the story of Jesus walking on the water and then Peter's attempt to do the same, which reminds me of a joke I once heard, and now after I tell this joke, you will understand why it is I don't tell jokes in sermons. So Jesus and Moses were playing golf one day, and up in heaven, and Moses teed off, and as he did, he sliced it, and the ball ends up plopping right into a big old water hazard. And so they go over to the water, and as Moses starts to pull out his ball retriever, Jesus says, oh, Moses, put that away. I'm happy to take care of this. And so Jesus takes a few steps in the water, and then he stops, and he looks down, and he realizes that his feet are not on top of the water, but actually he's standing on the bottom in the muck. He says, and he scratches his head. Well, let me try this again. So he goes out of the water, and he brushes off his feet, and then he walks back into the water, and sure enough, he's once again there, sinking down into the muck. What is it? Moses asks Jesus. Well, I used to be able to walk on water, Jesus says, but right now I don't know what's going on. I don't seem to be able to do that anymore. Moses responds. Well, I'm hardly an expert here, Jesus, but have you always had those holes in your feet? Oh. So I told Chris I'll probably get a few emails about that one. So in the story that I just read, Jesus pre-holes is able to walk on the water just fine. It's Peter who has a little trouble. Now Peter, very much unlike me in the jumping story, went for it right away. I mean, he swung his legs over that boat and he just headed out on the water heading to Jesus. But then Peter, a little more like me in the jumping story, becomes paralyzed with fear as soon as that wind picks up, and then he starts sinking. I can only imagine the rapid-fire conversation that must have been going on in Peter's head when that wind picked up and the fear started to get the better of him. I'm also imagining there was a little inner dialogue going on with the other disciples who decided to stay in the boat, probably thinking to themselves, first of all, what on earth is he doing? And are we supposed to do the same thing? Does Jesus expect that we're going to do the same thing? I mean, maybe we don't want to do this, but maybe we're going to disappoint Jesus if we don't follow Peter out of the boat. And I'm sure there was a lot of head talk going on in this story. Well, I realize it's maybe just a little bit of a stretch to compare what happened to me in Tanzania with what happened to these men on the Sea of Galilee. I mean, let's see here. Can I jump high enough? Am I going to drown? Yeah. But the truth is, there is one element in both stories that brought both stories to a crashing halt, a failure, if you will. And that one element is fear. Now, we know about fear. Fear is a powerful force in our lives. We've all experienced it, whether it's economic, social, political, medical, existential. I mean, fear comes at us from so many different angles. And as it does, it often stops us in our tracks. Fear transforms our outlook, and then sometimes it keeps us from moving forward, whether the fear is neurotic or the fear is real. I mean, what if I look stupid? Or what if I drown? Both have the same results. Fear is debilitating. So what's the answer? What's the antidote to fear? Fear not? Sometimes I tell myself that, when I wake up at 4 a.m. and start going down the rabbit hole in my thoughts of, I hope the cancer doesn't come back. Fear not when you're worried about the choices your children are making. Or are you going to have enough money to pay the bills this month? Fear not when you're concerned about our country or you're obsessing over a fragile relationship. Fear not. Easier said than done. It's kind of like telling someone who's a worrier to stop worrying. Yeah, there isn't a lot of success rate in that. Jesus says to the disciples, fear not, but then he adds the words, it is I. And that helps. To be reminded that we're not alone in the fear. To find ourselves in God's presence, that in the midst of whatever it is that's causing the fear, we find in God this uncanny strength, encouragement, and companionship. The promise that there's more than what we are experiencing or what we can see. And if we can find ourselves in that presence with that promise every waking day, well, then that gives us an edge up, that we're better equipped, we're better armed for whatever may come our way. In the lessons that we kind of glossed over this morning, but let me tell you that they both talked about, our psalm and our Old Testament lesson today, both talked about being like trees planted by a stream. Because they're the ones that flourish. In Tanzania, it seems like there are two trees that you see a lot of. And one is the acacia tree. And the acacia tree is known for its deep root system, that it goes deeply into the earth where it searches for groundwater because the drought conditions and the heat are both very extreme in Tanzania. So this tree flourishes. The other tree that flourishes, one of my favorites, this is the baobab tree. And the baobab tree has this enormous trunk that acts like a water tanker, like a living water tanker. It holds gallons and gallons, tons of water. There is a baobab tree in Tungamalinga by the church there. It's very, very large, and they guess that this tree is about 3,000 years old. And the reason it is so old is because it has been able to hold all this water that sustains it and keeps it alive. Well, like trees, we too have a better chance at flourishing if we're connected to water, our baptismal water. As the theme of one national youth gathering many years ago stated, we need to be walking wet. And we need to find ourselves in it is I, God's presence, each and every waking day. And I think that helps. But sometimes even that is easier said than done. I remember hearing a sermon once on this text, and the preacher said that Peter's problem began when he took his eyes off of Jesus. And that's when he started to sink. So, we just need to keep our eyes on Jesus, right? As if that is always possible. By the way, that preacher was me. And I fear that my sermon that day, maybe I've left some people feeling like even bigger disappointments to God than they may have already felt. As if anyone can only and ever keep their eyes on Jesus. Because who on earth would not have looked down at those waves or have felt and thought about that wind coming up as Peter was there in that moment? The truth is, sometimes the waves, sometimes the head talk, sometimes that paralyzing fear gets the better of us. And then what? Down we go? Possibly. Possibly. If it were not for verse 31, Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him. There's a lot in this story that can inspire us. I mean, oh, to be like Peter, his burst of confidence, and faith to swing his legs over that boat and take a stand. I mean, jeepers, I couldn't even go out there and just jump. And then there's a lot in the story that can challenge us, trying to remember that God is ever with us in the midst of our fears and keeping those eyes on Jesus as much as we can. But ultimately, this story is not about us. Not at all. Ultimately, this story is about God. God doing what we cannot do. Thanks be to God, fear will not be the final word because Jesus is here. Whether our eyes are on him or not, God is here who grabs onto us, pulls us out of the depths. It is Jesus who saves us from the wind and the fury and sometimes ourselves. And Jesus wants more than to just have our attention. As sweet as an unwavering vision on Jesus may be, Jesus first and foremost wants to save our lives. And he is here to do just that. So walk wet as you possibly can be. Sink those roots of yours deeply into the presence and the promise of our God. And then when the waves come up, that 4 a.m. talk in your head that can paralyze you with fear. Take heart, for there is a hand that reaches out for you, a life that has been given to save you, and a Savior who will never, ever leave your side. Amen. Well, we're going to sing Lord Please, and as we sing this, we're going to have an opportunity to give our offerings, and kids want to bring their offering up here to the globe in the front, that'd be just fine. Sorry, broke a string earlier, so it's a little...
Open portals within, lift my heart to welcome your kindness. Turn my face to the warmth of your smile, walk in my life. In the dawn of each day, as I wake to my task, as I set out, ready to give to my world some of me. Lord, please open portals within. Lift my heart to welcome your kindness. Turn my face to the warmth of your smile. Walk in my life. When the sun peaks the sky, in the crux of my day, when I'm running, racing to meet all those needs placed on me, Lord, please open portals within. Lift my heart to welcome your kindness. Turn my face to the warmth of your smile. Walk in my life. When day's shadows grow long, when I find my way home, when I'm sleeping, sorting the dreams of my heart, who to be? Lord, please open portals within. Lift my heart to welcome your kindness. Turn my face to the warmth of your smile. walk in my life. Lord, please open portals within. Lift my heart to welcome your kindness. Turn my face to the warmth of your smile. Walk